1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin here in New York, where Michael Cohen is expected to face tough cross-examination at his former boss Donald Trump's hush money trial today. Correspondent Jared Hill has our top story.
Michael Cohen, the man who once said he'd take a bullet for former President Donald Trump, returns to the witness stand today to testify against him. Monday, the prosecution's star witness told the jury Trump was directly involved in a scheme to pay adult film star Stormy Daniels to keep quiet about a past alleged sexual encounter. Cohen said Trump was furious that Daniels was shopping the story weeks before the 2016 election, saying then-candidate Trump told him, "Just take care of it."
The Biden administration announced whopping hikes in tariffs on Chinese imports this morning.
I'm Peter King. It's tariffs on $18 billion worth of imports. Things like electric vehicles, batteries, steel, critical minerals. For electric vehicles alone, it would quadruple from 25 to 100%. Semiconductors, 25 to 50%.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken's made a surprise stop in Ukraine, where he's met with President Zelensky. Less than a month after lawmakers in Washington approved $60 billion in long-delayed aid.
I wanted to thank you from all my team, all Ukrainians, to crucial package for our forces, for our warriors. Thank you so much for this package. Thanks to Congress.
Ukraine's army is struggling to hold back a major Russian offensive in the northeastern city of Kharkiv. A plea deal in Whitey Bulger's death. A filing by federal prosecutors in West Virginia shows three fellow inmates charged with beating the former Boston mobster to death have agreed to cooperate with the government and give up details of Bulger's killing at the Hazleton Federal Prison in 2018. A U.S. appeals court in Denver hears arguments today from sorority members at the University of Wyoming and their bid to ban a trans woman. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The six women who brought this lawsuit argued that the University of Wyoming has co-ed dormitories. If a female student wishes to spend time in a female-only space, she would have to join a sorority. But this sorority allowed a transgender woman to join, both on constitutional and contractual grounds. The sorority never bothered to define in its bylaws the biology of a woman.
Tough times at a seafood chain.
If you love shrimp like I love shrimp.
Red Lobster is closing dozens of locations and holding what a liquidator bills as the largest restaurant equipment auction ever this week. Reports say Red Lobster is considering filing for bankruptcy protection. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Well, here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Canadian wildfire smoke is back. That's why skies were hazy over Wisconsin Monday. Air quality alerts were issued for several counties. The Department of Natural Resources says small particles may make air unhealthy for some people, especially the very young, the very old, and people with heart or lung conditions. Most rural voters favor economic policies that lower costs and raise incomes for the working class. Patrick Toomey helped conduct a new poll for Breakthrough Campaigns.
Just cutting taxes and getting rid of regulations is not going to do the most to help me in this economy.
The poll shows rural voters agree with many Democratic policy positions, but think Republicans are doing more for working people. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Pirates steal a win from the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled but lost 8-6 to Pittsburgh last night. Jake Bowers hit his first career grand slam in the eighth to bring the crew back to within one, but the Pirates hit another home run in the ninth. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I love our team, huh? Yeah, I love them. You know, the way they battle. We did a lot of things not so good, but we had an opportunity to win the game.
Some bad news for the Brewers. Veteran Rhys Hoskins pulled a hamstring rounding the bases at first.
Just felt a little grab in the hamstring and kind of of learned over the years, especially not to push soft tissue stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have much else for you guys right now.
College football, the Badgers are going to play Alabama Saturday, September 14th, kickoff 11 a.m. It's the first time the Crimson Tide has played at Camp Randall since 1928.
Your best players are your most competitive leaders. You got a chance. You got a hell of a lot better chance to finish.
That's Wisconsin Badgers head football coach Luke Fickell with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 70 this afternoon. The wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 70 with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, right on through Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, executive producer Luke Mathers joins us at 10:33. In hour number two, what would a second Trump term mean for your health care? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matinair on air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, May 14th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app, on social media or by podcast, I've got a question for you. Do you realize that folks talking, saying build that wall have been wrong all along, but not entirely? We need to build the wall with Canada and this wildfire smoke. We need to build a wall. It is so hazy up here and smoky, and I feel like I haven't even really slept, even though I slept like a baby, but it's, you know, your eyes can't totally wake up. It's just kind of like, it's that kind of a haze, and it looks like it's going to be a summer thing again. We'll talk about that and so much more during the program today. Again, nice to have you along. You can reach us throughout the course of the show at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number. You can also send text messages to that number or use the Civic Media app. You know, the Standells had a song in the late 60s called Love That Dirty Water. We won't play it today, but I have a feeling it's going to come into use repeatedly here over time, because it appears that the Republican legislators do love that dirty water in Wisconsin. They're coming to the state capitol today, but they are not coming to release the $125 million that they have already approved to clean PFAS industrial chemicals out of Wisconsin drinking water. Instead, they're coming down to pull a political stunt and threaten to do veto overrides, even though they don't have the votes to override any of Governor Evers' vetoes. We'll talk about that. Sherita Booker will be here, our social media manager, to talk about what has been popular on the Up North News social media platforms. Christina Lurie will be here to talk about the daily newsletter. Then in our second hour, Hans Breitenmoser, a friend of ours, a dairy farmer from Merrill area up in Lincoln County. We talk every couple of weeks or so about the farm economy, and today we're going to do a little column A, column B. In column A are the things that Senate Democrats say they want in a new farm bill. In column B are the things House Republicans say they want. We'll look to see where there is there even a Venn diagram? Or are we just talking two complete circles that don't intersect? And what does that mean for farmers, producers, consumers, export markets, and so much more for the rural economy in Wisconsin? It's a very important thing. And yet there does not appear to be a lot of progress involved, because House Republicans want to do nothing but slash and burn the things that are in the farm bill. So all that and more coming up along the way. First, let's look at some temperatures around the state at 6 a.m. I guess from what Brittany said yesterday, came to fruition that about the southern two-thirds of Wisconsin had a rather cloudy, kind of dreary day yesterday, and up here it was sunny and gorgeous. I've got the top down on the Jeep, was driving around running errands, couldn't have asked for a better day. Well, yeah, I could have. There was all that haze. Up here right now in Lake Wissota, we've got 45 degrees. Hayward's at 36, Park Falls 40, Wausau 43 degrees right now, Green Bay 53. La Crosse also reporting 53 degrees. It's 46 in Rapids, 49 in Oshkosh. Madison's at 51. And in the quaint little Milwaukee area suburb of Waukesha, it's 46 degrees, where in a small room in a downtown radio studio, we find Greg Bach standing by to bring quality programming to another pair of Civic Media radio programs, that Up North News thing at 6 a.m., the Matt and Aaron Air thing at 10 a.m. The man is just dripping with quality radio programming. Mr. Bach, good morning.
I'm actually dripping with coffee because for the second time in a week, I spilled coffee all over myself.
No!
Yeah, so, what happened? So last week, we were here and we were just about to get the show ready, and I realized that my smartwatch was 10 seconds behind our radio clock. And when I walked in the room, I had a cup of coffee in my hand and my water in the other hand, and it was like 5:59:58, and I'm like, oh no. And I go reach down and I just spill coffee everywhere. That isn't a piece of very expensive equipment.
Not at all. No.
And so there was that, and that was fun to clean up while you were talking and trying to look professional. And then this morning I had a cold coffee drink that was in a can, like a soda can, and I shook it up because I'm like, oh, I want to shake it up, make sure it's nice and everything. I didn't think it was carbonated. When I opened it, it just started like a volcano. And what was funny is that, like, I think a lot of people would go like, oh my God, no. I looked at it and I'm like, of course.
Yes. when you are just defeated, you go, yeah,
yep,
sure, why not? Go for it.
So, oh, yeah. But goodness. I mean, you know what? Life is fine. I've got a change of clothes. I'm going to be fine. But I'm just like, good morning, everybody. Who needs coffee when you can just pour coffee on yourself?
When you can wear it. Yes. Yeah. I mean,
I'm a fashionable boy.
You can have it traditionally, you know, in a cup. There's coffee enemas. This is kind of a good midpoint between those things. It's just wear it. Just slather it on you at some point.
Pat, I don't do that whole drinking coffee thing. That's for the plebs.
I'm much more topical, you know.
I let it soak into my body via a gross t-shirt now.
Kind of like it's caffeine osmosis. Exactly. And what is today's t-shirt or the backup t-shirt?
This is the one I'm wearing right now that has the coffee. And I was like, oh, it'll dry, but it dried into a nice brown stain. So this is a Lakefront Brewery t-shirt, and it's got the original River West Stein logo on it. This is like a throwback vintage t-shirt. So I got nice. I'm going there tonight to do the drag bingo show. That'll be very, very fun. And we'll have a good time. So if you're in the Milwaukee area and you want to have some fun times, come on down. 7 o'clock, free.
Very good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to turn this into an advert.
Nope, that's fine. That's always good. Did you, in fact, I asked you over chat just before the show, were you able to get the little play-by-play cut from the Brewers? Because I'll jump right into sports here. And if so, because I when I went to bed, again, I don't know if it's the smoke or what, but it was 5-0. Brewers were losing to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was like the sixth or seventh inning maybe. And I was just like, no, I can't stay up. And come to find out that, again, the Brewers were down 5-0. So here's what I missed. Here's what a lot of you missed. It's the eighth inning now. Mm-hmm. It's the bottom of the eighth. The Brewers have the bases loaded. They're down 7-2 to the Pirates at this point. Jake Bowers steps up to the plate and does this. He stood there silently for a while.
What the heck? Okay. See, this is what I don't like about this website, is it automatically mutes the audio. So here we go. Yeah. So in the eighth inning, he did something very, very fun that has to do with baseball, I promise. Sorry, boring. Ooh, sports.
And the bases are loaded for Jake Bowers. The 3-2 delivery. High drive. Deep right field. Back goes Reynolds. Grand slam. The Brewers are
Jake Bowers
run.
Makes it a one-run game. 7-6 in the bottom of the eighth. And the crowd goes wild. Those who weren't sleeping like some of us. They nearly came all the way back.
Yeah.
But not quite. Ended up losing to the Pirates 8-6, but one exciting moment that we thought we would share there for you, especially since there's also some not-so-good news. Reese Hoskins left the game after injuring his right hamstring while running to first base in the second inning. Manager Pat Murphy said he'll undergo an MRI today. The Brewers, again, they're young. They're going to make some mistakes or at least have some shortcomings. In this case, it's what my wife loves to call abandonment issues. They don't strand the runners, they abandon them. The Brewers abandoned two men on base without scoring them in the second inning, the third inning, the fifth inning, the sixth inning. Starting pitcher Colin Ray struck out five and allowed three runs, six hits, one walk in six innings of work. Always nice to see the starting pitchers get through at least six innings there. Joe Ross will start for the Brewers this evening in game two of the series. You can listen to the pregame starting at 6:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. Then they will wrap up the series at midday tomorrow. So there's a little bit of sports from last night's Brewers game that we're all catching up on together. The big project around the Kreitlow household had been the garage thing, but now, Greg, I'm proud to say we have moved on to our next incidents of middle-aged couple goes into full home mode. I don't think you were part of this when we went to the Minnesota State Fair back last August. Most people will get, food, and they'll get all kinds of other trinkets and things. And then there's those people who you always wonder, who stops at these vendor booths and gets, like, household items? Middle-aged couples like us who are walking out of the fair with, like, this really long metal pole with brush attachments and things. Well, so we thought, yeah, this looks good. This looks really promising. And I don't remember the brand name, so I'm not doing commercials or anything. So finally, over the weekend, Sherry's like, let's get that cleaning pole out. If you want the very definition of what makes for a happy married couple in middle age, it's watching their purchase of a state fair cleaning pole work its magic on getting stains off of household siding when you're going around the house. We're like taking turns. You attach the garden hose for it, and like we could reach way up into the peaks, and we could get some of the mossy stuff off of the top of the siding. We were so happy. This is what brings us joy when the grandkids aren't here. Obviously, we love our family. But if they're not here, household cleaning.
They don't clean anything. So
that's true. They do.
Folks, this is another reason why you should really pick up on the live stream. Because if you could see the shining, bright smile and eyes of one Pat Kreitlow, he's so happy. And you know what? I'm here for it. Because I
get
it. We
were so proud of ourselves. Yes. Well, you have to remember that when we were very young, and I am not mechanically inclined at all, even less so back then, and we lived in apartments, and we would tell our young daughters if something broke, we'd say, well, you know, the men will come fix it, meaning from the rental office or maintenance or whatever. Early on in being house owners, something broke, and Samantha says to us, when are the men come fix it? Like, nope, I'm the man now. I have to figure out how to fix it. We are the men. Sherry and I have become fixers, and it's been quite a journey. And I love it. Wouldn't change it for the world.
That reminds me, I go to the hardware store and pick up a light switch today. Okay, thank you for the reminder.
There you go. It's all public service here. Let's take a break. We'll unpack the news in just a bit. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, this is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
This would be Spirogyra, the first top-selling, what you would call it, light jazz bands. And Jay Bekenstein is the saxophonist of the group that you'll hear in a couple of seconds here. And he turns 73 today. And this was one of their more popular songs, appropriately called Morning Dance, as we get going on this Tuesday morning. Here's a little bit of Jay. And we will note in a half hour in today's history lesson the passing of another modern-day saxophonist of note. David Sanborn passed away at the age of 78 over the weekend. We learned that late yesterday. Talk about that more coming up in a little while later this hour. Again, our phone number here is 855-75-CIVIC. What have we opened the door here for? Let's see, household gadgets that you've purchased and like to clean, or home maintenance projects that went really well or went really sideways that you want to tell us about, and famous coffee spills, you know, from your life. So you can also talk about things in the news, and that's what we're going to get into next when I tell you that the Wisconsin legislature will be in session to a degree today. Legislators have decided to come back to the Capitol, but not to do the thing that they should be doing, which is, well, just having the Joint Finance Committee release the money that they have already budgeted for cleaning PFAS, industrial chemicals, out of the water supply. No, instead, Republicans in the state Senate said they will gather today to vote to override some of Governor Tony Evers' vetoes, including his partial vetoes of a bill to fight PFAS pollution. Now, Republicans have a supermajority in the Senate. They have 22 of the 33 seats. So they do have the votes to override an Evers veto, but over in the Assembly, the Republicans do not have a supermajority. They would need to pick up two more seats or have two Democrats, you know, not show up for some reason. That's why Democrats, for months and months now, have really kind of been on standby. They've had people nearby, you know, the Capitol in case Republicans, as has been done in other states, tried to pull a fast one and suddenly hold a veto override vote, which is immensely childish. But that's where we've been taken in our politics these days, that rather than simply do the right thing, we're playing political games. And that's what we're going to have at the Capitol today, would be the political games that are being played on these veto overrides, including for the PFAS money. And then after that, they'll be able to put in their campaign literature, well, you know, hey, we tried, but that big bad governor had some partial vetoes in there to provide a little bit more flexibility, also take out the language that would have made it tougher for the DNR to enforce the actual polluters. And that's where we sit at this point. Sharia Booker is coming up to tell us about what is popular on social media in just a sec, but I just wanted to share the story about PFAS first, and also to tell you that the state Supreme Court did hear arguments yesterday on the whole notion of whether drop boxes should continue to stay banned. And according to Scott Bauer, writing for the Associated Press, the liberal justices who control the Wisconsin Supreme Court showed signs Monday of being willing to overturn a ruling that all but eliminated drop boxes in the swing state. Let's listen more now to my chat recently with Sarita Booker about social media posts at Up North News. And now let's talk to Sherita Booker, social media manager here at Up North News. Head to Up North News WI on social media on most channels to find more of what she's up to. And as we discovered last week when we were asking for the website to win those Brewers tickets, I can't tell you enough. Put the WI after the end of Up North News when you're searching for us. Sherita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good. How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks. Let's jump right into some of the posts from the past week or so that were clicked on, watched, shared the most. And we often start with a newsy one. And so why wouldn't we start with President Biden's visit Wednesday of last week to Sturtevant, to the Racine area, and talking about, you know, what was originally planned for that site, but what now is going to go up on that site instead. Tell us more about last week's story for those who missed it and what folks had to say about it.
So there are some jobs heading our way, Wisconsin. Biden visited Racine County and announced a $3.3 billion Microsoft data center that will be on the grounds of what was supposed to be a massive Foxconn facility. Biden said the project will require about 2,300 union construction workers to build it and about 2,000 permanent employers to staff it. That had a lot of comments. Lana said, Foxconn was such a bust. I really hope something good comes of this. And Deidre said, did he forget jobs were lost due to a global pandemic? And he's doing his part to bring them back. So Deidre, wait on it.
And that's something we discussed in the wake of this visit and probably has to come up a lot during the campaign here is when we're talking about job growth. And, you know, Biden's job growth has been so much more than Trump's. And people say, oh, well, yeah, because you're coming off the pandemic. No. That's accounting for recovering the jobs from the pandemic. And then job growth over and above it has been more than, you know, any president in our recent history. But obviously, there's still nearly 6 months of campaigning left to do for the Biden team to get that message out if they want to be successful in it. All right, let's turn to education now, and always enjoy when we ask some open-ended questions and some fill-in-the-blanks. And as part of Teacher Appreciation Week, you asked a question and got some responses. Tell folks about that.
Yep, so it's Teacher Appreciation Week. So one of the many questions we asked you this week was, what's one thing that could make public schools better? That post had almost 100 comments, and here's what Emily said. She gave numerous comments about that. She said, number one, funding public schools fully instead of starving them of funds for over a decade. Two, changing their reimbursement rate for special education students. Currently about 33% is covered. Three, ensuring public funds go to public schools, talking about youth school vouchers. And four, respecting the teaching professional in general. I thought you made some really good points on that one.
Without a doubt. And of course, you had answers all over the place. You had Doug here saying defund them. All schools should be private. Meanwhile, you've got Peg saying fully fund our public schools. Joan saying separate church and state. Stop privatizing public education. And again, you had just the whole range of things in there. I'm not seeing, thankfully, a lot of, you know, name calling. You know, sometimes these things can really, you know, deteriorate quickly. But a lot of people putting heartfelt remarks about the answer. And that's what we appreciate very much is when we can, you know, make these posts more of a town square for folks to share their thoughts and maybe some, you know, solutions rather than just the same old grousing. And then finally, something rather enjoyable here, not just any birthday, the birthday of a lifelong Wisconsin resident and a World War II veteran who is still with us, Sherita.
Yeah, so he just turned 107 years old. And check this out, he still drives and lives on his own. He celebrated his birthday with his friends and family like a true Wisconsinite with a beer and a brat. That post had more than 1,000 likes on Facebook. Barb said, wow, amazing. I can't imagine how you have seen the world change in all those years. The happiest birthday wishes sent your way. Mary said, happy birthday to you, you young whippersnapper. Thanks for your service. And there were several more birthday wishes sent his way.
That's so great. Sherita Booker, thank you very much with that. You can see more or hear more, read more of what she does on her social media posts over on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Christina Laurie tells us more about what's in the Up North News Daily Newsletter next. You're Up North.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Already getting some reports of people cutting their first crop alfalfa, and that may be good considering insect pressure out there. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. You know, we always can take our cue as far as insect pressure from farmers farther south. And in Illinois, they're already dealing with alfalfa weevil. That's according to Nick Sider. He's an extension entomologist for the University of Illinois.
Yeah, alfalfa weevil continues to be kind of the pest of the spring. So it was a problem in southern Illinois early. Now we've had reports as far north as Rockford and Grundy County, Illinois, of fairly serious alfalfa weevil infestations. So that's something right now, if you haven't already, if you've got some alfalfa, go out and take a look. Really, no matter where you are in Illinois, but particularly in the maybe northern half of the state where they would be the most active right now.
Nick Sider, he's an entomologist with the University of Illinois. Aside from keeping an eye on alfalfa weevil, he said that their black cutworm traps have also had particularly high counts this year, and they're also watching out for true armyworm. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, well, soybeans are the soft one today. Numbers are next.
Imagine planting, tending, and raising your crops all season long, only to discover a micronutrient deficiency is robbing your yield potential. Once you spot signs of nutrient deficiencies, it can be difficult to bounce back. Get ahead of manganese, boron, and copper deficiencies with Moxin from CHS. Designed with a patented Levisol chelate, Moxin increases nutrient availability and provides your crops with the nutrition they need. Ask your local CHS retailer about the power of Moxin.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Pretty big day for dairy on Monday. Barrel cheese gained 6 cents to 197 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 198, and the AA butter gained back another 3¾ cents to 302¾ per pound. This morning, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 14 cents at 21.40. July's up a dime at 20.31 a hundredweight. December corn currently up a penny at 4.94. November beans down a nickel right now at 12.07. July wheat up 2½ at 6.89½. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 70 this afternoon. The wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 70 with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, right on through Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's time for The Uplift now with Christina Lepore, who puts together our daily newsletter. Sign up for it on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner. Become one of oodles of subscribers. I haven't even looked lately, Christina, what we're up to here, but you could be one of the many cool kids subscribed to the newsletter, which has to be...
Pat, you love to tell the story of how few it started with.
Six.
Now we're up to, we just passed 180,000.
180,000. That's outstanding. Folks who catch Pete Schwabe on this fine radio station for Nightlight at 7 o'clock know that I was on the show with him 2 weeks ago, and I really appreciate it and wanted to make sure I passed on to you. He was absolutely gushing over the newsletter.
It's always great to hear.
I took the credit, but I mean, it's, I may have mentioned you as well.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, really, the best messages come from a few a day. I always get emails from different subscribers just saying that a story that we wrote about brought a smile to their face. And that's really our goal. Something that's distinct about our newsletter is that we start with a good story, as in a positive story, not just well written. Mm-hmm. And it's just a nice way to start your morning because our email gets sent out at 5 a.m. So no matter what time you wake up, you can start not feeling like the world is falling apart.
That's a good way to kind of get the day going. See, and I get the old school version of that is every so often at Up North News, we kind of have something kind of akin to a pledge drive where we just invite people to, you know, donate and support our work over at Up North News. And a lot of folks will do that online through the website, but some folks still like to write a check. And so they mail it to P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls, 54729. And I go down to the Chippewa Falls post office and pick them up. And we have such a collection of little post-it notes and other little pieces of stationery or the back of, you know, somebody's, you know, junk mail. And just so they can write a little note about how much they either like the newsletter or something that we're doing. And I swear one of these days I've got to put all those in a frame just as a, you know, a little positive motivator. But we appreciate every note, every email.
Yeah. And it's a good reminder for anyone listening to this in your life. Maybe take a minute today and send a nice email to anyone in your life, whether it's someone that reports to you at your work or a family member you haven't connected with in a while. It seems like we're always so busy, especially we're heading into the summer. It's like the few months of a year that we can actually enjoy the outdoors here in Wisconsin. But like to take a minute to share something good with someone rather than asking them for something or business that you have to conduct, it's always a nice change of pace.
It would be, wouldn't it? That's a good idea. Thank you. So we're getting at the end of the school year here, and there are all kinds of stories that can be done and all kinds of things that are happening. And this time around, you wanted to start us off with a story that's been in the newsletter about top student athletes for the University of Wisconsin, but as they are awarded by the Big Ten Conference. Tell us more about what the award is, and then we'll get into who got them.
So every year, the Big Ten, it gives an award called the Medal of Honor to two people from every single school who really exemplify student athletes. So they need to be equally versed in both academics and athletics. Sometimes the former gets lost. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to shout out Wisconsin's winners because they really are exemplary both on and off their respective fields or greens. You'll understand what I talk about when I introduce them. Okay. So the first is women's soccer forward, Emma Jaskiniak. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. She's a four-year starter, midfielder of the year, second team All-American, currently ranked fifth on Wisconsin's all-time goals list. And then student-wise, she was also named to the academic All-Big Ten team. All 4 years she attended the UW, she actually already graduated with her degree in marketing last December, and she's already been drafted to the Utah Royals FC. So she's going to continue her athletic career. But it's nice to see a professional athlete actually graduate with their degree before turning pro. So congrats to Emma. And then on the men's side, men's golfer Cameron Huss won the award. He's a two-time NCAA qualifier. He's actually heading to his third championship right now. three-time golfer of the week and a 2024 All Big Ten first team member. He also has plans of pursuing golf as a profession, but he is just finishing his bachelor's degree in consumer behavior and marketplace studies right now, and has also been academic All Big Ten 3 years in a row. And it's just a really nice honor. Only two students from every school are given this, so they're really the best of the best and deserve some extra accolades.
Well, yeah, this Big Ten Medal of Honor, you know, it's been around since, 1915. So, I mean, clearly you've got to be pretty worthy to be part of something that prestigious, especially when you consider how often we hear of some schools that are, you know, just they're on Sports Center every night, but you're not, you know, you're not necessarily sure what they're like as an academic institution. And I think the UW strikes a whole lot of people as being able to balance the best of both worlds, world-class academics and research, but also athletics like this that have been, you know, part of our trademark for a century now.
And Pat, you know what I'm really interested in is that, of course, so next school year is going to be a little bit different. The Big Ten is going to have more of these awards to hand out since the conference is expanding.
To 400 teams, it feels like. It includes schools on both coasts.
Big Ten, a.k.a. Big 18.
Yeah.
But just recently, Wisconsin men's basketball, they released their in-conference schedule for next season. And it's interesting to see Washington and Oregon labeled as, you know, conference games doesn't seem natural. But I was talking with my dad about this. I'm interested to see how this increased travel and increased far travel, I mean, hours away, different time zones away, will impact the student part of these student athletes' lives. Like, it can't be easy to take a road trip. Next season, Wisconsin's going to be playing both UCLA and USC on the road. I mean, that's a long flight, and it's already a lot of travel to keep up with academics and athletics. Interested to see what kind of tweaks they make along the way.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, when they're doing these conference matchups, I guess the basketball teams will each play 20 conference games, 7 road games, 7 away games, and then some home-and-home series. And yeah, you've got these trips because now you've got, you know, Rutgers, you know, way out on the one coast, and now these West Coast teams that have come in. And I would hope it doesn't diminish the value of, again, some of these student athlete awards and things like that, because it's no longer, I mean, it hasn't been 10 schools for a while here, but there's just so much more there to, you know, to make it a little bit tougher for somebody to stand out at any one of these schools when you've got so many schools that are in there now. But I guess this is the world we live in these days.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how long it is before there's another like national realignment, because it just would make most sense just logistically to have schools grouped by region. I mean, it's just every area is off. I mean, at least Big Ten, all we have wrong is the number. Other conferences have wrong the geography. I mean,
yes,
the Big East, and then schools are not in the East. It's like, come on.
No, they haven't been. They haven't been at all, because they're all trying to be just basically major leagues. You know, the major leagues are the entire country, and now college sports is kind of going in that same direction. And while that's, again, that's good for the money, and that's good for, you know, the exposure. But again, it gets away of what we were just talking about. An award like this started in 1915, when it was a big deal. It was probably a 3-day bus ride to get to Ohio State, you know, from here way back when to do these kind of road trips. And so to be able to conduct your studies while still traveling the entire country, I'll tell you, whoever gets these awards a year from now, they will have really earned it.
Yeah. I mean, the ones this year earned it as well. But yes, things are going to get more intense. You mentioned Ohio State. That's something that's kind of lost, just shifting to the only athletic part of this conversation, is that with a larger conference, we're missing out on a lot of these longstanding rivalries. Because if you look at next season's schedule, Wisconsin only plays Ohio State once. Luckily, they play them at home. But most teams in the Big Ten, they're only going to have one game against. So it's either going to be home or away. There are only three teams that the Badgers will play, both at the Kohl Center and on the road. I was glad to see Illinois on the list of that. I always think that's a very exciting game.
Of course you do.
Yeah, of course. But it just statistically it is as well. I think the Badgers have the lead in the overall series, but Illinois is quickly catching up. They've had the edge the past few seasons here. Wisconsin's also going to play both Iowa and Minnesota home and away. So I'm glad to see those rivalries going, but it just is weird to only meet teams like Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana, Purdue only once. I mean, it just, I feel bad for people, alumni of those schools who have come to live in Madison, hoping to see more of these matchups. They're going to become even more rare with the football schedule.
I just
play Illinois next year, which is a bummer for Wisconsin because that's pretty much a guaranteed win.
I just don't see this lasting. I don't see this as being sustainable. Now, save the tape. Maybe somebody can play this back in 5 years and tell me how wrong I was. But I just don't know. And I don't think they know either. I think anything is still possible with all these conferences. We're still getting used to the money that's in college sports now with these NIL deals, name, image, and licensing. You know, the money that's getting paid to these student athletes. And, of course, the sports gambling. You know, and I feel like it's not that long until the next scandal. Thankfully, you know, the Shohei Ohtani one in Major League Baseball did not turn out to be, you know, the worst case scenario. But I'm so worried that we're going to see something that it only takes one bad apple. And, you know, I'm not saying that college sports is all pure and everything. I just don't necessarily want it to, you know, run headlong into, you know, having its reputation ruined either.
And Pat, I don't know if you feel this way or if this is just like, I would assume you feel this way as well, that like one of the best parts of college sports is that loyalty to your school. Like you feel really passionate about one school, you feel that connection to them. And that's just the bummer about all of this with the transfer portal, especially. Just seems like there's no loyalty anymore. And I know saying that, it sounds like I'm like a crotchety old person complaining, but that was the pure part, your word was perfect for it, of college sports, that, you know, a player would arrive at a school as a freshman and then they'd graduate as a senior and turn into this awesome athlete. Maybe some of them didn't fare as well as, you know, the coach had hoped when they drafted them as a freshman. But on the other side, some people came in as that scrawny walk-on and then become a star by senior year. And we're going to see that rarely happen anymore. And you also can't get as attached to these players because you're just getting them for one or at best two seasons. So I am interested to see how all of this changes. I mean, props at least that they're making changes because things always change. You have to go through some missteps to find what works and what ends up being awesome.
That much I agree on. I just don't know that this will be the final form that it takes, though. Again, only time is going to tell on that one. Christina Laurie, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Pat.
And again, Christina Laurie puts together the newsletter with your news tips. You can send them to her at christinalaurie@upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, you can sign up for the newsletter by heading to our website as well, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter in the top banner. In our second hour, I mentioned that we're going to be talking to Hans Breitenmoser. We'll talk to him at 7:30 about the Farm Bill and the things that Senate Democrats want in, the things that House Republicans want in, and what that says for the potential future of getting some key legislation passed for the rural economy. Another story out of rural Wisconsin that caught our eye that we're going to share in our next hour deals with, frankly, gullibility and stereotypes, and a story that is not going to make parts of rural America or rural Wisconsin look good as they buy into the big lie from Donald Trump. It's a modern day snake oil salesman routine that folks are buying into in terms of believing that, you know, there was something untoward about the 2020 election, to the point where in one Rusk County community, they got rid of their voting machines, and that could get them in a little bit of trouble legally. We'll explain in our second hour. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Weight isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb that will one day ruin your health, if it hasn't already. Sick and tired of fad diets that don't work? Wausau Weight Loss offers you the real deal, a natural, effective path to weight loss without the hassle of counting calories or endless gym hours. With our proven program, clients are shedding up to a pound a day. Real people, real results. Hear their stories. Witness the transformation.
Hi, I'm Ivor from Marshfield. I lost 130 pounds and over 60 inches. I've got so much more energy than I ever had before, and I also have the confidence to pursue cycling and kayaking and keeping up with my grandkids.
Wausau Weight Loss offers a groundbreaking approach with no gimmicks or temporary fixes. Just sustainable, healthy weight loss. Don't wait. Diffuse that ticking health bomb with Wausau Weight Loss and lose as much as 30 pounds in a month. Visit WausauWeightLoss.com or call now for your free, no-obligation consultation at 715-502-4748. 715-502-4748. That's 715-502-4748.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
That saxophone you hear on David Bowie's Young Americans is David Sanborn. David Sanborn passed away at the age of 78 on Sunday from prostate cancer, a multi-year battle against it. Sanborn won 6 Grammys over his career. He was written up in the New York Times as having a fiery alto saxophone whose flourishes earned him those 6 Grammys, 8 gold albums, a platinum album, and established himself as a celebrity sideman, lending indelible solos to enduring rock classics like this one from David Sanborn. Seems to be a day for saxophonists. In today's history lesson earlier, we played Jay Bekenstein, who turns 73 today, one of the co-founders of Spyro Gyra. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is 40 years old today, and retired Green Bay Packer Clay Matthews is 38 years old today. Today we also mark the birthday of Walden Robert Casado, born in East Harlem, went into music and became known by a stage name, Bobby Darin, born this day in 1936.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white.
Yet another case of, you know, what they might have done had they had a little bit more time. Bobby Darin had health issues throughout his life and passed away at the age of 37 in 1973. On this day in 2011, country singers Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert got married, forming a country music power couple, it says here, to rival the Tim McGraw Faith Hill union. Except that Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert only lasted 4 years before getting divorced. And Blake Shelton is, I believe he's still with Gwen Stefani.
Oh, yeah. They have a child. Yeah. It also makes it sound like wrestling. Like, Shelton Lambert versus McGraw and Hill this weekend at the Forum.
Yeah, I would not bet against McGraw and Faith Hill, especially after watching them in the Yellowstone series. That's a rough series, man. Happy birthday to David Byrne, 72 years old today. It's a few Talking Heads tunes we could just play for the rest of the morning if we could. On this day in 1948, Israel is declared to be an independent state. A provisional government is established, and Israel is immediately attacked by its neighboring Arab states, triggering the 1948 Arab-Israeli War. Happy birthday to Canadian singer Tom Cochrane, who turns 71 years old today. As you get set to sing us Life is a Highway, we'll tell you singer Shanice is 51. We'll play her hit a little bit later on today. On this day in 1953, What it began at the Milwaukee Brewery strike. It was a strike action involving more than 7,000 workers at Milwaukee's six major breweries at the time. Brewery Workers Union Local 9 and an employer's organization representing the brewers failed to agree to new contracts that would have increased wages and decreased working hours to make them more comparable to the labor contracts of brewery workers elsewhere in the country. The strike lasted until late July when Blatt's broke with the other breweries and began negotiating with the union. The other companies soon followed suit, and the strike officially ended July 29th, with the union workers voting to accept new contracts that addressed many of their initial concerns. Oh, Greg, you're not going to believe what I just did on the National Day calendar for today here.
Did you accidentally delete them all?
No. I accidentally didn't finish it. Here's why. There's a story. Today is National Buttermilk Biscuit Day. That's not what the story is about. This is also Chicken Dance Day, which, if you have it there, we're contractually obligated to play the little chicken dance for whatever reason.
Well, that's enough of that.
Fun fact about... It's the rule.
Okay, whatever.
Yes.
Fun fact about Greg and Bridget Bach, me and my wonderful wife of nearly 12 years, we banned this song from our wedding.
Well, that's very similar to my story. I was starting the list. I got to the chicken dance. I stopped typing to go tell Sherry that, you know, it was going to be chicken dance day. The little dance itself was, for some reason, had really caught on in 1985-86.
Yeah.
And I don't know if who popularized it or whatever it was. We had a polka band at our wedding reception. Full-on polka band, not a cover band. It was a polka band. It was all polkas out there in Manitowoc County. And we danced every song at our reception. We had a blast.
Nice.
You know, our faces hurt from smiling. There was only one song where we did not dance, and that's when we went to go cut the cake for everybody, and we had decided when the band fired up the little chicken dance, like, nope, we're out. So while everybody was wiggling their hips and, you know, flapping their arms, we were like, nope, it's time to cut the cake. That's it. So.
I've never respected you and Dr. Kreitlow more now. Also, by the way, I'm watching this video that comes with the dance, and it's of ducks.
Yeah, I don't get that. I got immediately distracted, and so now I have to come back to the National Day Calendar website to tell you that this is International Chihuahua Appreciation Day.
I don't have to.
I don't have to. And what pops into my head immediately? Yo Quiero Taco Bell. I just can't get that. That'll always be part of the Chihuahua.
You know, the best representation of the Mexican people. Good God. Oh, my
Yikes.
God.
Today is National Decency Day. Today is National Om Day for people who meditate.
Or like voltages.
This is National Underground America Day for people who like to have underground homes or homes that are partially underground.
Nice.
It's Online Romance Day, which I know is more and more of a thing as more people meet through dating apps and things like that. So, you know, that's very nice. And let's see, it's a Spinal Cord Injury Awareness Day. And it says it is doodah day. It has something to do apparently with pet parades.
Okay.
Doesn't have much more than that. So
it's just
happy doodah day.
Boy, happy doodah day.
It really ended with a thud, didn't it?
Yeah, right. It's National Free Car Day, everybody. Yeah. Go to your local car dealership and tell them Greg sent you. They get a free car.
Morning, Nick.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the host of Civic Media's The Maggie Dawn Show, Maggie Dawn, and Bigfoot tracker and enthusiast, Mike Desitel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts. Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.